you, Jonga Kanzemiri. A very good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 Live from the Voice of America on Wednesday, August 24th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Here are our top stories this evening. Police arrest 60 MDCT protesters in Zimbabwe's capital, Harare.
It's time for Mugabe and his regime to stand aside. We can't trust them with our future. At 92, he's no longer old, but ancient.
Police are deployed in Mashingo town 2 days before a planned nationwide demonstration against lack of electoral reforms.
As residents of Mashingo, we are not safe in this situation because we can see heavy armed police trying to victimize peaceful people.
And all is set for the ZAPU Congress with party leader Dumiso Dabengwa facing a new challenger.
We are happy that finally we are holding our Congress beginning tomorrow. We've had challenges. Even now, we haven't got everything we need for Congress, but we are at a stage where we can hold a successful Congress.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Zimbabwean police today clashed with former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai's main opposition movement for Democratic Change Party supporters who were protesting against police brutality. About 60 people were arrested in the public protest. Reporter Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Business came to a standstill in Harare today following a protest against alleged police brutality that was organized by the youth wing of the MDCT. The youths, who marched from their party's Harvest House headquarters, clashed with police near Parliament, resulting in the protesters throwing stones and other missiles at the police, who retaliated by firing tear gas and used water cannons and gunshots to disperse them. The protesters intended to submit a petition to Home Affairs Minister Ignatius Chombo, but failed to do so as a result of the clashes. Chairperson of the MDCT's Youth Assembly, Hepimo Chidziva, who addressed the protesters before taking to the streets, said time has now come to face President Robert Mugabe's administration head-on for allegedly failing to run Zimbabwe.
We are here to save our Zimbabwe. We as MDCT youth today bring in an action plan for liberating our motherland from the jaws of the tyrant, from a government that sees fit to purchase luxurious ministerial cars for over $40 million, spending money on travel and subsistence from Mugabe and his henchmen, endless and nonsensical trips around the globe when hospitals have no drugs, just to attend a dance festival in India or collect a grandson in Singapore. Our wallets are robbed. We cannot stand and watch this tomfoolery. History must judge us harshly. Posterity will be cruel to us if we fail to act.
The Youth Wing's General Secretary, Love Mochinoputa, also complained that Mr. Mugabe had failed to provide the 2.2 million jobs that he promised before his re-election in 2013. Chidziva warned the police against using maximum force on protesters, saying their duty was to protect citizens.
It's time for Mugabe and his regime to stand aside. We can't trust them with our future. At 92, he's no longer old, but ancient. And a man who is still sleeping at TV while standing cannot be fit to continue ruling over this once great nation. A man whose idea of growing the economy is printing money on bond paper cannot be trusted with our future.
Yes.
Clear issue, he must go.
Yes.
During the protest, a number of cars, including a police vehicle and another one belonging to the state broadcaster, Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation, were set on fire. At the same time, Choppy's supermarket owned by Vice President Pelekezela Mpoko was looted. Police spokesperson Cherith Charamba told Studio 7 by phone that more than 60 people were arrested in connection with the protest. At the time of going on air, there were some running battles between police and some of the protesters, while military police had been deployed in the streets of Harare. An army helicopter was also seen flying around the central business district. Today's protest came at a time when opposition parties have announced that they will stage more peaceful marches in Harare on Friday to demand key electoral reforms ahead of the 2018 elections. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Home Affairs Minister Ignatius Chombo told Studio 7 that police are not brutalizing protesters. In a similar development, anti-riot police have been deployed in Mashingo Town in anticipation of a public demonstration to be staged by opposition parties on Friday, demanding widespread electoral reforms ahead of the 2018 general elections. Our reporter Gandri Maramba has more details.
Local residents expressed dismay over the deployment of the police, saying President Robert Mugabe's government is attempting to silence dissenting voices. One of the angry residents, Paul Rimai of Mcheka high-density suburb, said the deployment of the police even in the high-density suburbs is designed to intimidate people intending to join the protest called by the National Electoral Reform Agenda or ONERA.
As residents of Mashingo, we are not safe in this situation because we can see heavily armed police trying to victimize peaceful people. In a democratic country like Zimbabwe or in a free town like Mashingo, this is not good, this is bad. We condemn violence as the youth of Mashingo. We are not happy about this situation.
Another resident, Samson Gumbo, said the situation is tense but calm in the town. Mashingo Human Rights Trust coordinator Masimba Gonese also condemned the deployment of the police in the central business district and residential areas.
This is a very clear case of paranoia on the part of the government, for they feel that the planned demonstration by the political parties under NERA could spill to the smaller towns. But this is an unbridled intimidation by the state. We have moved around, we're talking to residents, and they feel they are not very free moving around because they don't know what may befall them. As this is, like I said before, a very clear case of paranoia on the part of the government.
Police refused to discuss the deployment of its members in Mashingo Town. 13 opposition parties under the banner of NERA are demanding electoral reforms ahead of the 2018 general elections. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mashingo, this is Gandri Maramba.
At the same time, some Zimbabwean church organizations say they've finally decided to add their voices to the problems affecting Zimbabwe by marching in Harare on Thursday to protest against social and economic problems currently facing the country. The march is organized by Zimbabwe Divine Destiny Church, while organizations such as Prayer Network of Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe Christian Alliance, and Christian Voices will be expected to join the protest. Zimbabwe Divine Destiny Church leader Bishop Anselmo Magaya says they want to press the government to admit that it has failed and to allow for a national dialogue. Bishop Magaya says they also have plans to petition Parliament to call for a motion to impeach President Robert Mugabe. He tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri they have informed the police about the intended march and will go ahead as planned, despite the fact that the police has not yet responded to their request to stage it.
Zimbabwe Divine Destiny, in collaboration with other Christian organizations, have resolved on the basis of their prophetic mandates from the Word of God to actually demonstrate, to express the mind of God with regards to what is happening in this nation. You know very well that we have what we call the vestiges of an economy. We no longer have an economy to talk about. and people's social and economic rights have been seriously and painfully violated. And not only that, but President Mugabe's government has continued with impunity to curtail people's freedoms. And as the prophetic voice, the voice of conscience to the nation, we are saying no to that. And so tomorrow, we are actually getting into the streets to express solidarity with the suffering people of Zimbabwe.
Have you already sought clearance from the police?
When it comes to church-based organizations, it's very clear that we are actually not under restriction to do anything. So we will proceed demonstrating as planned. But what we've done is we've just advised the police that in terms of Constitution section number 59, we are advising you that we will be asserting our constitutional rights to demonstrate in solidarity with the suffering masses.
We also understand that there are plans to petition Parliament to impeach President Mugabe. May you explain?
Yes, but also it is important to note that constitutionally, the Parliament is the legal body that can actually impeach the president. So we are within the law.
That was Zimbabwe Divine Destiny founder Bishop Anselmo Magaya in Harare speaking with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. For analysis, Studio 7 reached independent political commentator Mlamuli Nkomo.
It goes in hand with the mood in the country. Various sectors of society are agitated. They are very angry at the state of the affairs, that is police brutality, economic meltdown, and general poverty. So what we are seeing is a trend that has been developing in recent months, and that is set to continue in the near future, whereby people are taking action. They are rising. They are going to the street to protest against the status quo.
Church leaders are also set to demonstrate tomorrow, while opposition political parties are also scheduled to march on Friday. Given today's events, how do you see these pending marches panning out?
I'm aware that some of these events might be seeking police clearance. Maybe they have not been yet. We might see the courts intervening, maybe granting them the right to march. But what we can say, what I observe is that it's clear that the government wants to instill fear among the citizens. They are using the police like they did today to instill that fear. So what we might see is that some people might be discouraged in participating because of the violence that they've seen. But I don't think that this thing that has been set in motion, this wave of protest, is going to tie it down.
That was independent political commentator Mlamuli Nkomo speaking with Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo from Johannesburg in South Africa.
We have an important programming change announcement. Effective Monday, August 29th, 2016, Studio 7 will stop its English program. However, English news on Zimbabwe will continue to be broadcast on VOA's English to Africa programs, Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday, and Nightline Africa, Saturday and Sunday. Studio 7 will continue programming in English on Live Talk, which has been expanded to one full hour. You will also be able to get Zimbabwe news on our website and Facebook. We will continue broadcasting in Shona and Ndebele, Monday through Friday, and on Saturday and Sunday, where we have expanded Shona and Ndebele programs to 30 minutes. For broadcast times and frequencies, please visit our website, www.voazimbabwe.com. That's www.voazimbabwe.com.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Coming up in the Diaspora Forum this evening, we're featuring a woman living in the United States taking care of Zimbabwe's huge appetite for traditional foods. But first, a look at regional and international news. A strong earthquake shook central Italy just after 3 a.m. today, causing extensive damage to three cities near the epicenter and killing at least 73 people, including children, according to unofficial numbers given by Italian media. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan says military operation launched Wednesday in northern Syria targeted Islamic State fighters and Syrian Kurds in an effort to put an end to terror threats at the border town. At least 100,000 Roma Mozambicans are paying the price for the nation's stalled peace talks after armed opposition fighters allegedly attacked and looted at least two health facilities in the past month, depriving patients of basic medical care and supplies. And South Sudan opposition leader Riek Machar is in Khartoum for medical treatment, a Sudanese minister said Tuesday. Information Minister Ahmed Bahil told state media Machar was brought to Sudan in serious condition. ZAPU says all is set for the party's delayed elective congress, which kicks off in Bulawayo tomorrow amid reports that party president Dumiso Dabengwa will be challenged for the post by current secretary general and academic Ralph Muguni, based in Britain. Reporter Taurai Shava brings us more.
The congress is the second elective assembly since ZAPU's revival in 2008. The first elective congress was held in 2010, and the second one was supposed to have been held last year, but was deferred due to financial constraints. ZAPU's Southern Region spokesperson, Ipitule Maposa, told Studio 7 that everything is in place ahead of the congress, which starts tomorrow and ends on Friday.
We're supposed to hold this congress the last August, but due to financial challenges that we faced as a party raising the requisite funds to hold the congress, our National Executive Council requested the National People's Council to postpone this congress by at least a year so that we could have enough time to prepare for the congress. And now we are happy that finally we are holding our congress beginning tomorrow. We've had challenges. Even now, we haven't got everything we need for congress, but we're at a stage where we can hold a successful congress.
Although he noted that there has not been official communication yet, Maposa acknowledged reports that Muguni is interested in the post of party president.
We haven't had official confirmation, but the lobbying that is happening points that we are going to have a challenge to all the posts. We're also going to have a challenge to the president. We have seen some confirmations from other members as to maybe availability of Dr. Ralph Muguni, our current Secretary General. He could challenge the president, although he hasn't officially announced his challenge.
Maposa said since the Congress is elective, all positions are up for grabs. Sources say current alternate Secretary General Strike Mkandla and United Kingdom spokesperson Tulani Ngala are also interested in the top post. South African-based businessman Tubilizwe Joly is said to be setting his eyes on the post of Vice President, previously held by Emilia Mkaratirwa, who resigned earlier this year. Maposa said, unlike other parties, ZAPU will not simultaneously hold elections for the women and youth wings during the impending Congress. Deputy Director Butler Tambo of the Center for Public Engagement, speaking as an independent analyst, said with other opposition parties in the country talking about the importance of coalition, he expects the new ZAPU leadership to be given the mandate to explore the possibility of such an alliance. Dabengwa has led ZAPU since breaking ranks with ZANU-PF in 2008, claiming that members of the party are being marginalized by President Robert Mugabe's government. But some ZAPU members are still in ZANU-PF. Between 3,000 and 5,000 delegates are expected at the ZAPU Congress. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shava.
A Zimbabwean woman based in Maryland in the United States, Tanya Spandla, is taking care of Zimbabwe's huge appetite for traditional foods. Spandla says she got her green fingers from her parents, who imparted her the passion to grow vegetables. She has now used that passion to venture into a lucrative business. Spandler says she is now catering for Zimbabweans and other Africans who enjoy organic vegetables from home like mubora or pumpkin leaves and others. Mrs. Spandler says although she has a full-time job, growing vegetables is what she loves doing during her free time.
I decided to take up farming, or you might call it farm-to-table gardening, whereby I'm interested in growing vegetables. My focus is mainly on vegetables that I know appeal to Zimbabweans or any other people in diaspora, especially from Africa. So I started off doing community gardening here in Germantown in 2010, and the interest grew as I continued with my community gardening in Germantown. And I founded a program within the county that I live in, which is Montgomery County, where they try and link landowners with people who are interested in farming. So I was able to get connected with a landowner whereby I rent 2 acres. That's where I'm currently growing pumpkin leaves, corn, nyeve, as well as other type of vegetables. And I'm seeing the interest or the feedback coming back from Zimbabweans mostly that I sell my products to.
What actually prompted you personally to take up, a business in growing vegetables that you know would be targeted to Africans and especially Zimbabweans in the diaspora?
It was, I guess, an opportunity that was just lying there for me to be able to do that, because you see Asians, they have their own grocery stores in the area, and most African stores that I've seen around, usually they don't carry many variety of vegetables that we enjoy back home. So I saw that as an opportunity for me, with my interest in gardening, to focus mainly on that. And being in the capital city here in the metropolitan area, where there's every nationality from every part of the world, I saw that as an opportunity as well to be able to cater for customers or people in diaspora who would not normally get a fresh pumpkin leaves or nyeve from anywhere in the store.
And from what you grow, especially for the Zimbabweans, which vegetable would you say has been your best seller to date?
I would say the pumpkin leaves, they have been the best seller. And the irony of it is that not many people here in the United States know that you can consume pumpkin leaves. So that has been the main best seller. And I'm also getting people from other African countries like Mozambique, Zambia, other Western African countries. They're also interested in it because I guess they eat the pumpkin leaves from their countries of origin.
And how do you market your vegetables?
Currently, it's by word of mouth, although I intend to use the social media in the near future. But for right now, it's just mainly word of mouth that I market the product.
And then talking about the actual growing seasons here in the United States, we are nearing now the winter. How often do you grow your vegetables?
Right now, I'm going to be focusing on other type of vegetables that are conducive to the weather, to the fall weather that we're coming into. For example, the green turnip, or we call tsunga in Zimbabwe, spinach would also be thriving around this time of the year, as well as kovo or English red. These are the type of vegetables that can thrive in this type of season that we are approaching. So I try and adjust to the season that's current and just take it from there.
And for those who might want to actually buy some of your vegetables, where can they find you? How do they reach you?
I'm in the process of currently setting up a website, but it's not ready yet. So the only means for right now is via my email that they can find me. The email is T as in Tom, S as in Sam, 208745@gmail.com. T-S-208-745@gmail.com.
That was Tanya Spandler, a Zimbabwean living in Maryland here in the United States.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chione Sojani, and I am your host for Time to Engage, where the voices of Zimbabwe's youth are heard. Today, joining me in the studio is Muzare Betty Makoni, founder of Girl Child Network, and we'll be discussing the issue of rape and preventative measures that can be used for girls in the church and how churches can implement safety measures to prevent future implications. Hello, Muzare Betty.
Hello, Chiwaniso. It is my pleasure to talk to you today.
I'm so happy that you could be with us. Can you share with us preventative measures that girls can use to prevent being violated?
First of all, I want you to understand what rape means. Rape means forced sexual intercourse on a woman. Even your closest boyfriend can rape you as long as you are not ready for the act of it and somebody forces it on you. It's not negotiable. But one preventative measure, I'm very skeptical about these churches, because in them we know rapists are harbored, all types of beliefs about the woman, about the girl being a sex object. So I would actually say to young girls, you should actually know that your faith has nothing to do with the man who's leading the church. The faith that comes to you is a separate issue to your own spiritual development. So choose the churches wisely. Choose churches where there are safety measures, because churches these days are talking a lot about violence against women, and those churches are churches to protect you, to protect your integrity.
What safety measures and protective measures that can be instilled in such environments?
Don't you ever visit any male's house, especially alone, even with a group of friends, because they may take you and also assist the prophet to rape you whilst he's praying for you. It has actually happened here in the United Kingdom and in Scotland, in Zimbabwean communities. And avoid situations where you are told that you have got certain diseases in your private part. Definitely, it starts with also the coercive language, the language used in preaching. There are times when these pastors preach in such a way that they are threatening. They are also causing anxiety. So they start with your psychology to push you in a corner, so that by the day he takes you into a private room, you cannot challenge it at all.
Thank you very much, Muzare Betty Makoni, for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much.
And that was Muzare Betty Makoni, and I am Chione Sojani on Time to Engage.
And in sports news, Zimbabwe's Warriors go into camp Sunday in preparation for their final fixture of the Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers to be held on September 4th against Guinea in that country.
As you are aware, that our Warriors qualified for 2017 total Africa Cup of Nations that are going to be hosted by Gabon. Our Warriors are coming into camp on the 28th of August 2016. They're going to assemble in Harare, and they're expected to fly out to Guinea on the 31st of August 2016, where they're going to face Guinea on the 4th of September at the 28th September Stadium in Guinea. That's where the Warriors have already qualified, but it is part of the rules and regulations of CAF that they have to fulfill this fixture. We are the best, and they are very optimistic that they are going to defeat Guinea, and the focus will shift to their preparations for the Gabon final in January next year.
So are you going to be calling in any foreign-based players, since you're saying that they've already bagged a place at the Africa Cup but are just fulfilling a fixture?
Yes, I can confirm. Coach Calisto Pasua has called foreign-based players, and a statement will be issued tomorrow on the names of these particular players that have been called by Coach Pasua, including other logistical issues relating to their traveling to Guinea.
And what is the situation regarding their upkeep while they are in camp? Does ZIFA have the funding? Because we've seen a lot of stories coming out about efforts to get more funding for ZIFA. What's the situation right now?
I would like to categorically state that it is the responsibility of ZIFA to ensure that the Warriors fulfill all their fixtures, and ZIFA will never abdicate from this responsibility. Having said so, it is also imperative to state that the funding of this national team is not the responsibility of Zifa alone. It is everyone's collective responsibility, including yourself. Yes, our appeal to more corporate partners, to more individuals, to the government, to partner this beautiful team of the area.
That was Zifa spokesperson Kolisani Gwesela. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye wishing you a very good night, and I leave you in the safe hands of Ntungameli Nkomo with the Ndebele broadcast.